Radio Prague News.
Russian spies in the Czech Republic use Cold War methods, the Czech intelligence service says in its annual report. Former presidential candidate Jan Švejnar has rejected a nomination for the Czech EU commissioner. And a new survey suggests that the Social Democrats are leading the polls ahead of October's early general election. Russian spies in the Czech Republic use methods that were employed by the Soviet intelligence in Western Europe in the 1980s, according to the annual report of the Czech intelligence service BIS, released on Monday. The report said that last year Russian espionage activities in the country were on the rise and specifically focused on US plans to build part of an American anti-missile defense shield in the Czech Republic. The Czech Secret Service said that Russian exponents contacted Czech politicians, particularly members of parliament, their assistants and the staff of Czech political parties. The report also notes that Russian spies who were covered as diplomatic staff at Russian embassy and consulates employ methods used by Soviet espionage in Western Europe in the last decade of the Cold War to influence the peace movement of the time. Earlier this month, the Czech Republic expelled two Russian diplomats for alleged spying. Russia then retaliated by expelling two Czech diplomats from the Czech mission in Moscow. Former presidential candidate Jan Švejnar has definitely rejected a nomination by the Christian Democrats to become the new Czech EU commissioner, party leader Cyril Svoboda told reporters on Monday. Although Mr. Švejnar originally accepted the nomination, he later changed his mind, realizing the controversy that is likely to break out over the post, which must be approved by all parties. The new Czech EU commissioner, who will replace Vladimír Špidla, will most likely be appointed after the elections in October. According to some diplomats, this will narrow the negotiation options about the commissioner's portfolio. The Social Democrats lead the polls ahead of October's early general election with an estimated gain of 29% of the votes, according to a survey by the STEM agency released on Monday. They are followed by the Civic Democrats with 24.1%, the Communists with 11.2%, and the New Party Top 09 that would receive 6.8% of the vote. The only other party that would cross the 5% threshold to get into the Chamber of Deputies are the Christian Democrats with 5.7% of the vote. The agency said that the survey also included the preferences of undecided voters as well as of those who said they would not vote for any party in the upcoming election. The Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer is scheduled to meet with members of the Czech scientific community on Monday for a new debate on science and research funding. The Czech Academy of Sciences has recently staged several protests against a planned 50% cut in funding over the next 3 years, while Czech universities said that any drop in state subsidies would dramatically decrease the quality of education. Monday's roundtable will also be attended by Education Minister Miroslava Kopicová and the head of the Confederation of Czech Industry, Jaroslav Míl. And a quick look at the weather. The start of the week should see clear skies, but rain showers and occasional storms are expected towards the middle of the week. Highest day temperatures should range between 24 and 28 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter. That's the end of the news.
Hello, you're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Rosie Johnston. Coming up in the show today, as the US admits it needs to change its strategy in Afghanistan, what next for Czech troops stationed in the region? Not to be taken lightly, Czech President Václav Klaus takes exception to a new EU directive obliging Czechs to buy energy-saving bulbs, and all of the weekend's football and hockey news, as well as much, much more, coming up in this week's Sports Roundup. Then later, we meet Tereza Bushkova, an artist who's been receiving rave reviews for her work, which brings Moravian traditions to top London galleries.
My husband says it feels like a roller coaster living next to me, because in the last past few months, there has been exciting news every 2 weeks, but then every week, and then every day.
All that coming up, so stay tuned. The state of military and reconstruction efforts in Afghanistan is a matter of perennial debate and concern for all countries involved. And as forces there revise their plans for the country, so too does the Czech army. There are currently some 500 Czech soldiers in Afghanistan, serving in a variety of roles, and in rearranging their activities to suit the continuing crises there, one thing the Czech government is now focusing on is creating a more long-term plan for its missions. Andrej Čirtek of the Ministry of Defence has recently returned from Afghanistan, and our reporter Christian Falvey spoke with him earlier today about the ministry's plans for Czech involvement in the country.
Czech army has approximately 500 soldiers deployed in Afghanistan, and they are deployed in all kinds of missions. We have special forces there, which are there for fighting, mainly. We have their provincial reconstruction team, which is responsible for development of infrastructure of Afghanistan and reconstruction projects. And we have there also instructors who help train pilots of Afghan Air Force. So we really do a lot of things in Afghanistan. We are deployed in a wide range of missions, and we want to continue our activity with aim to develop Afghanistan. So in a couple of years, Afghanistan would be able to take over for its security and for its development.
And the plan that the government is to put forward now would change what exactly?
Well, regarding plan of our deployment for next year, it was already approved at spring of this year in June. So we have a plan for next year. But the thought of Minister of Defense Martin Bartak is to plan our foreign operations, including operation in Afghanistan, for longer period of time, because it would be much more easy for procurement system, for recruitment system and other processes in army, if army would know for sure what missions will it do in 3 years. So the plan is to make concept of our foreign operations, operations of Czech army abroad, not only for 1 year, as it used to be up to now, but for 3 years, which is ideal period for planning and for strategic processes.
Okay, but recent news reports are saying that you want to increase the number of soldiers in Afghanistan. You say that's not actually the case.
It's not actually the case. If you count together two operations going on in Afghanistan, Operation ISAF and Operation Enduring Freedom, you will see that in next year, number of Czech troops in Afghanistan will actually decrease, because at the end of 2009, this year, we will withdraw our special forces.
And you would like to redeploy the Czech Field Hospital Unit, I believe. Why is that unit in particular being discussed?
Well, field hospitals are one of capacities of Czech Army, which is traditionally used in foreign operations, and field hospital was already deployed in Afghanistan for two times. And of course, that after every deployment, there is a need for retraining of personnel, for re-equipping the field hospital. And after that period, you can deploy field hospital again. So this can be the possibility in near future, but such deployment was not yet approved for next year, 2010.
And lastly, what effect will this have on the ministry's budget at a time when all of the ministries are trying to cut expenses?
Well, Ministry of Defense already agreed with huge budget cuts. For next year, we will cut approximately one-fifth of our budget. But regarding concept of mission planning for 3 years and budget situation, there is no direct relation in this. If we count with current budget, which was approved by Czech government, and with budget forecast for other 2 years, it's possible to plan our deployment in Afghanistan for 3 years without serious problems.
Andrej Čirtek from the Czech Defence Ministry was speaking there to Christian Falvey. Now, two topics are guaranteed to evoke an angry reaction from President Václav Klaus, environmental activists and Euro-federalists. On Friday, he took both to task at the launch of his new book, Blue Planet Under Threat. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
President Klaus on Friday launched a new offensive against environmental activists in a sequel to his highly publicised book, Blue Planet in Green Shackles. The follow-up, called Blue Planet Under Threat, explains in greater detail how damaging the global warming hypothesis can be in the hands of politicians who would use it to justify the curtailment of personal freedom and economic growth. Mr. Klaus arrived at the book launch armed with a powerful argument, Edison's light bulb. This, he said, was the perfect example of where the global warming hysteria could lead, to politicians dictating what light bulbs people may use. He was referring to the Brussels directive for EU member states to phase out incandescent light bulbs and replace them with energy-saving alternatives, such as compact fluorescent lamps, or CFLs, starting September 1st. Mr. Klaus, who has defended the widespread use of traditional light bulbs at Prague Castle with a ferocity equal to that of refusing to fly the EU flag there, urged Czechs to stock up on the old light bulbs to last them a lifetime. In one of his most radical statements to date, Mr. Klaus said the world's leading environmentalists had taken a leaf out of Stalin's book, recalling that the Soviet dictator had once said, "Make only the kind of prognosis that cannot be refuted before your death." And he expressed the belief that environmentalists were secretly glad of the economic crisis, which would make people curb their excesses. The book contains a collection of Mr. Klaus's lectures, with answers to the most frequently asked questions. For instance, asked why he thinks so many people are ready to accept the global warming theory without question, Mr. Klaus says some people believe in UFOs, others in global warming. Explosive as it was, the president's latest attack seems to have made little impression. According to a Eurobarometer survey, only 6% of Czechs agree with the view that global warming is not a threat to mankind. And the head of the Czech Environmental Association, Duha Vojtěch Kotecký, noted that they were used to Mr. Klaus's language and did not take it seriously. There likewise appears to be a little sign of panic buying in the shops, although some people may have stocked up well in advance. One thing is clear, energy-saving CFLs will not be welcome at Prague Castle while President Klaus is in office.
Daniela Lazarova with that report. And with that Eurobarometer poll suggesting that only 6% of Czechs agree with their president's view that global warming is not a threat to mankind, tell us your view. Is global warming one of the biggest problems of our generation, or a much overblown concern? You can write to us with your views either by post at Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague to the Czech Republic, or by email at english@radio.cz. Now, though, seeing as it's Monday, we move on to the weekly sports roundup, which is, as ever, with Ian Willoughby.
The great Czech rower Václav Chalupa has ended his career on a high. Alongside Jakub Makovička and Cox Olczyk Hejduszek, he took silver at the World Rowing Championships in Poland's Poznan on Sunday. Chalupa, who's 41 and won his first international medal a full 2 decades ago, made Poznan his farewell regatta.
I'm firmly convinced and have my mind made up that it was the final race of my international career. I'm very happy that things turned out as they did. I think it was one race I shouldn't have messed up.
Václav Chalupa, a legend of international rowing. He took part in 6 Olympics in a row, winning 1 medal, silver, at the 1992 Games in Barcelona. Ice hockey fans in Pilsen got a rare chance to see the Stanley Cup up close on Sunday, when the Pittsburgh Penguins' Petr Sikora took his turn to present the NHL's top prize in his hometown. The forward had previously brought the Stanley Cup to Pilsen in the year 2000, when he won it with New Jersey.
I have to say I'm enjoying it a lot more this time, because in those days I was still a young guy who thought he'd win it every year. But the reality is a bit different. As my career draws to a close, I wanted to win it again. Winning it again has been the fulfillment of a dream.
Petr Sikora. The Czech football squad gathered in Prague on Monday ahead of their most important game for some time. A World Cup qualifier away to Slovakia that they simply must win if they're to maintain any hope of reaching South Africa next year. The good news is that the country's all-time record goal scorer, Jan Koller, has returned after retiring from international soccer last year. The bad news is that midfielder Jan Polak is out after tearing a cruciate ligament at the weekend. What's more, it isn't at all clear whether Tomasz Rosicki will be fit enough to play for 90 minutes or at all in Saturday's game in Bratislava. The Czechs also play San Marino in Uherské Hradiště on Wednesday week. Finally, a few months ago, the future of West Bromwich Albion striker Roman Bednář was in doubt after he was photographed buying drugs by a British tabloid newspaper. In the end, however, no charges were pressed and the Czech striker ended up with a three-month retroactive ban. That served, Bednář was back in action for the English Championship club on Saturday, scoring twice in a 2-2 draw against Sheffield United. That's all the sport for today.
Ian will be there. Now, in the last part of our show today, it's time for One-on-One, for which I met a talented young Czech artist living and working in the United Kingdom today. My guest in One-on-One today has been described as a young Czech Matthew Barney and a rising star on the London art scene. Since graduating from the Royal College of Art 2 years ago, Tereza Buškova has exhibited in some of the capital's highest profile spaces, such as Gallery 176 and Gallery 111. Buškova's screen printing and films draw heavily upon her Czech origins. In October, her project The Spring Equinox, which you can hear a bit of now, will be exhibited alongside the work of compatriots Kateřina Šeda and Josef Wolf. On a recent visit back to Prague, I met Tereza Buškova and asked her first about the story behind her critically acclaimed Spring Equinox.
I have been always interested in the life cycle and the most kind of important rituals that happens in our lives, like, for instance, marriage and death and birth. And marriage was something that I was exploring in the past quite a lot in my work. And I'm interested in the life cycle, the four seasons. So therefore, I decided to start with the spring, as I love spring, and something that really fascinated me, the symbols of spring and the rebirth of everything.
It seems like you have a muse, as you said earlier, with whom you kind of try and reenact some of these rituals in a not necessarily modern way, but in a slightly different way, maybe out of their original context. Is that the kind of idea?
When I went to Czech Republic to film Spring Equinox, my idea was to go to these villages where people still very much do crafts on an everyday basis. They go to church on Sunday wearing their traditional costumes, which are very rich in this particular village, Ratiškovice, which is one of the oldest villages in Moravia. And the idea was to really get to know folklore and those traditions, because in the past I only knew these traditions from books. The original idea was to kind of mix the old with the new. But when I came to the village and I met those people, I realized after the filming that it's not so simple just to say, here is the footage from Ratiškovice, here is my footage which I filmed 2 hours away from Ratiškovice in a different village. So I started with editing and the sound, and then it all kind of came together and we were all very happy with the result. And the film was born. I mean,
but that first part of the film isn't a documentary of life in Ratiškovice. I mean, it looks like you sort of staged various scenes. How did that work? Were you setting up various villagers in certain situations, or how did you do it?
It was really hard, because when I came to the village, I had a little helper, this lovely lady who was born in Ratiškovice, who knew my work and was excited by it and said, I'm going to help you, I'm going to show you things you will not see in books. But when I came to the village, the mayor of the village find out that there's going to be a filming, and the word spread around, and they call the little kids, and they call the younger kids, and they call the grown-ups, and all the people, and they all dressed up in their traditional costumes. They all came to the shooting area and took their instruments and took their most beautiful costumes that they really wear only to weddings. I was stunned by the beauty and excited of how much material I'm going to have in my film. But then again, I was a little bit scared because I thought, hang on a minute, you know, now I can't really control it, you know, it's getting a little bit out of my hands. And they did took control.
Do you think that living and working in England has really changed your view, not just of Czech folklore, but of it's changed the sort of artist that you've become?
Yes, definitely. I mainly think that what gave me the rich practice was studying in the UK. I've been very lucky to be able to study abroad in the UK in very good schools where I met very interesting artists. I went to very interesting lectures and had the opportunity to try different techniques, not just be based in a painting department, but experiment with different media, cross over from printmaking department to film. That's something that doesn't happen so easily in Czech Republic.
It seems like in recent months you've had a lot of success and quite a great deal of good publicity in London. Has this come as a surprise to you, and how does it feel?
My husband says it feels like a roller coaster living next to me, because in the last past few months there has been exciting news every 2 weeks, but then every week, and then every day, which is absolutely amazing, and it's something just wonderful. And I always wanted to achieve a lot with my work, and I always believed in it. But when this happens, this publicity and this appreciation from the outside world, it's something that you are never prepared for.
Do you think that your films and your performances are speaking to everyone that they should, or do you think that people are still slightly wary of performance art and film art, and therefore the kind of desired audience maybe isn't yet getting to see the kind of art that you're making?
Yes, I do believe that. I do believe that not many people are specifically interested in moving image or performance art. But what I found exciting in from my own experience, that I can reach and touch more people when I'm showing my work outside the white wall gallery space, where my work, because of its kind of spiritual, magical nature, doesn't really come out that well, doesn't work. And by doing a live performance on Charing Cross Road in London, in a window gallery, which is part of St. Martin's School, was very, very, very exciting, as I was doing what I do in one of the busiest streets in London, in front of hundreds of people, the normal public. You know, often, I guess, you know, some of these people never go to gallery spaces, wouldn't think about that, and they were kind of forced there to watch my kind of weird imagery and experience something very different. And their response was very good. And it was the most exciting performance that we did so far.
Can we expect any of your work being exhibited, or any of your performances taking place here in the Czech Republic anytime soon?
I do hope so. I don't have any specific plans yet, but I am definitely interested showing my work to the Czech audience, because obviously I am taking lots from my culture, and I think it's about time to show it here.
That was Tereza Bušková, who's tipped for great things and may well be exhibiting in the Czech Republic sometime soon, so watch this space. And if you can't wait that long, then pop along to Bohemians, an exhibition of Tereza Bušková, as well as Czech counterparts Kateřina Šeda and Josef Bolv's work at the Spring House in London in October this year. But that cultural tip brings us to the end of our show today here on Radio Prague. So let me quickly remind you that if you want to find out more about anything that you've heard in today's show, all the info can be found at our website, which is, as ever, www.radio.cz. And there you can also have the chance to listen again to all of our audio reports from today and indeed previous editions of our show. But for now, from me, Rosie Johnston, and the rest of the team here in Prague, it's thanks for listening and goodbye.